me invite you tonight to take your Bible and turn once again with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we are studying the gifts of the Holy Spirit has given to the believers at the time of salvation in order that they might be used to edify the church of Christ. Tonight is our last night to consider these gifts in detail. There's a few more things that I want us to address under the heading of spiritual gifts, but the last night that we're going to take to look at these in the detail that we've been doing. The final two gifts that I want to consider tonight are the gifts that I'll call the gifts of communication, teaching, and exhortation. Romans chapter 12, look with me if you would at verse 7 and 8. As Paul is again making a list for us, he says, "We're ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Again, we want to look at the gifts of teaching and exhortation. Let's, before we look at those together tonight, bow and ask the Lord's blessing. Shall we pray? Father, we do ask and pray tonight that you would guide us and direct us in these final two gifts as we've considered them, that we might understand what each gift is and what our gifts might be. And Lord, I pray that as we understand the gifts that you have given to us, that we would be willing to seek to use those gifts to edify and build the body of Christ. So that as the body is built and edified, we be effective in fulfilling the commission that our Savior has given unto us. And we'll thank you, Lord, and praise you for what can be accomplished tonight. We'll ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The foundation of our faith is rooted in the Word of God. You'll see that on your sheet as we begin tonight. The foundation of our faith is rooted in the Word of God. You and I believe what we believe because we understand that what we believe has been inspired of God and has been preserved for every generation. When you and I open our Bibles and we read the passages of Scripture and we see these precious words, we believe that the very words that we find written and the very ideas that are conveyed in the Scripture were placed there directly by God Himself. In theological terms, we call that we believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of the Scripture. We believe that every word and every concept, every idea was inspired by God. The God who created heaven and earth has given to us His Word. He has given us that which we need to live. And it's the basis of our faith. It's the foundation. Therefore, we believe that the Bible is the final authority in all areas of faith and practice. Basically, you and I believe that the Bible has the final word in everything. I believe that what the Bible says is true. And I believe that if it is true and if it is the Word of God, and it is, then it has the final say. You know, someone always has the final say in an argument, in a dispute, in a discussion. For those of you who want to be more politically correct, we don't fight, we have discussions. Someone always gets the final word. Sometimes it's the man. Yes, dear. He always gets the final word in. But the reality is, when you and I consider our faith and life, the Bible has the final word. It is the authority. What it says goes. And if that is true, and it is, then you and I would understand that it is imperative that the church, if the church is going to grow and be edified, then the church needs to understand the truths of her faith. If the Bible's the final authority, then you and I better understand what the Bible says, correct? If it's going to guide us in our faith and in the practice of our faith, then you and I better understand what it teaches. God in His wisdom has given to us through the Holy Spirit gifted people with a special ability to communicate His truth to His church. The Bible's our final authority. And He has given some the gifts of communication. We're going to discuss these two in detail. That we would understand these precious gifts that are given. We're going to begin tonight by considering the gift of teaching. In actuality, there are three gifts that relate to communication. We talked about the first one the first week, the gift of prophecy. And then there's the gift of teaching, which is the second of those gifts. And then exhortation, which we'll consider in a moment. But the Holy Spirit has blessed the church by giving her gifted men and women with the ability to teach the Word of God. I want you to understand that. God has given to this church gifted men and gifted women with the gift of teaching and ability to communicate His Word. Why do I make sure to emphasize that? Because, ladies, God might have given you the gift of teaching. And to have the gift of teaching is not the same as having the gift of being the pastor. And those are two totally separate things. But I have on your sheet this truth, and it is true. Every pastor must have the gift of teaching. 1 Timothy 4:2 tells us that. One of his qualifications is that he must be apt to teach. Literally, able to teach. If he doesn't have the ability to teach God's Word, he's not qualified to be a pastor. But the reality is not every teacher is a pastor. God blesses the church with teachers. I don't feel it's necessary for me to teach every class that goes on in our church. I'm thankful there are people who can stand here on Sunday morning and teach Sunday school. I don't think that we need to have a combined Sunday school class because I'm the only gifted person who can teach the Bible. There are some people far better gifted at teaching those children downstairs than the person standing up here tonight. Not my gift, I'll be honest with you. I have an ability to communicate God's Word, but there are some ladies that have an ability to communicate the children far better than I do. They look at me sometimes with their big old eyes like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm looking at them, I don't know if I'm communicating anything to you anyway. God gives to the church people with an ability to teach, to communicate God's Word. The whole body of Christ is going to be edified when those with the gift of teaching will use their gift effectively. Let's define this gift of teaching. The gift of teaching can be defined as the motivation to research the truths of God's Word and then present them for the benefit and instruction of God's people. The gift of teaching is the motivation to research the truth of God's Word and then present that truth for the benefit, for the instruction of God's people. What do we understand that by way of application? Those with a gift of teaching have a desire to do what is necessary so that the truths of God's Word can be clearly explained to others. One with a gift of teaching enjoys studying the Word of God and other related resources. If you're wondering if you have the gift of teaching, ask yourself this question. Do I enjoy studying the Word of God? Do I enjoy getting into a passage and seeking to understand what it means? Or am I just content to be one of those people that I just read it? It doesn't matter if I even understand it. I just read it. Some people get into that pattern of life. They're just going to read. Sometimes in teaching in the educational setting, I remember the first year I taught Bible doctrines to 11th and 12th graders, and the pastor said, you need to give them this theology book to read. And I looked at him and said, you sure you want me to give them that book? I said, there are people that go through seminary that don't get that book. He said, that's the one I wanted to read. I said, okay. I gave them their first assignment. They went home, and I think they had to read 3 pages, and they walked in. You can't quiz us. So what do you mean I can't give you a quiz? We didn't understand a thing we read. So that's okay. There's words in there we've never seen before. I said, did you look them up in a dictionary? Look them up in a dictionary. I said, that's what you do when you don't understand what the word means. But you're not going to quiz us, right? I said, I don't know. We'll see. Let's have a word of prayer. I said, amen. I said, take it a half sheet of paper. It's time for a quiz. You can't do this. I said, yes, I can. I'm the teacher. We get to do this. They all failed miserably. I said, now, here's what I want you to do tonight. I want you to go home and reread the section, and this time, I want you to study it. There's a difference between reading and studying. Those with the gift of teaching have a desire, and they enjoy studying the Word of God and the other related resources. Paul, in fact, would exhort Timothy as a pastor to study to show himself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Those with the gift of teaching often have the ability to organize vast amounts of material into logical and systematic systems so that others are able to clearly understand and apply the truth of God's word effectively. I'm thankful for people really with this gift. They're able to pour through a great deal of material and then make it very simple for others to understand. You know, as we consider some illustrations of this gift, I was thinking today that throughout the ages there have been men and women who have been used of God to help build up the body of Christ and the faith. As I sat in my office today, I was able to look over my bookshelves, and on those shelves are countless books written by men and women that had an understanding of how to take the truth and put it clearly down in word that others could learn and grow from it. When I came in tonight, Tim asked me, do you have a Strong's Concordance that I could borrow? I have one of those in my office. I have a couple different concordances. Do you ever consider how much work went into that volume? That someone would actually sit down and find all the references for all the verses so that you and I could quickly find a verse that we, and all we can think of is just one word. What's that one word? Where's that at? Take our concordance and we can find it. You know, that's not the only volume that Brother Strong wrote. He also wrote a systematic theology. There's a man that had an ability to take truth and put it very logically and systematically together and to make it so that others would be able to understand God's word. I'm thankful for people like that. I'm even more thankful that I live in a day and age where someone that has taken that volume and put it on a computer and I can just type those words in and it just pops up for me. It's even faster than looking it up in the concordance. You know, the reality is God has given to us people with an ability to teach. And God still desires to use gifted individuals to build His body through ministries of teaching. You realize our church has various ministries of teaching. How often do you stop and give God thanks for the people who are involved in those ministries? Sunday school. Vacation Bible schools, those that would be involved in our academy, sermons and Bible studies, master clubs and youth group. As people are taking the time to study God's word and other materials so they can take that truth and then communicate it to others that they might grow. God gives to the church those with a gift of teaching. Not everyone has that gift. I could come to some of you and say, you know what? I could go to Carla. I'll pick on my secretary. Carla, I want you to teach a ladies' Bible study. You know what she would tell me? No. Immediately, that'd be the first response. No. She wouldn't do it. Okay? She didn't feel comfortable there. I could go to Sue and ask Sue to teach it. And she might say, I'll consider it. She might not give me the right answer right away, like, yes. But the reality is, Sue's taught for many years, and some of other ladies have taught. Would be more comfortable to be able to take material and sit in front of other ladies or in the Bible study or in the Sunday school and teach. I can go to Kirk at any time and say, Kirk, I need you to fill in for me. I need you to teach. And he has a gift to do so. And he's more than willing to do so. There are some others, the pastor, don't ask me to do that. But God gives to some within our church a gift to teach. We ought to be thankful for that. And those with that gift of teaching ought to be willing to use that gift so that the body of Christ can be built up. There's a second gift of communication, though, and that's the gift of exhortation. It's the final gift that we want to consider. As believers, in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, we are all challenged to exhort one another daily, lest there would come into us an evil heart of unbelief. But God desires that all of us exhort one another. We all should in some way be exhorters of one another. But you know, God also gives to certain individuals within a church a special gift of exhortation. Let's define it tonight. The gift of exhortation can be understood as the ability to aid in and assure the spiritual development of God's people. Someone that has the gift of exhortation has an ability to aid others in their spiritual development, and they seek to assure that every person that they minister to will develop and grow in the Lord. And they have a gift to do so. It's interesting, the Greek word for exhortation is the word parakaleo. And the word means to come alongside of. To be a paraclete. One that comes alongside of another. It's the same word that the Lord Jesus Christ would use of the Holy Spirit when he said that I will send another comforter. God gives to some that gift of exhortation to come alongside of those in the body of Christ and help them develop in their spiritual life. Like the teacher, they desire to communicate God's truth, but the exhorter takes up where the teacher leaves off. There are some who have an ability to take the truth and teach it. They can get up and explain very clearly the truth of God's word. There are others who then take that truth and they build upon it, and now they make it very personal to this personal development of your life. One man said it this way, if the teacher lays out the truth, then the exhorter lays it on. The teacher lays it out. The exhorter lays on the truth. He takes that truth which has been explained, and he applies it. And he makes it real personal. By application, the exhorter is one who has a special burden to strengthen those who are weak, faltering, or faint-hearted. They desire to take the truth and make it practical to the specific situations that the people are facing. An exhorter has the ability to take the broad principles of the teacher and apply them to the specific needs of the day. One with this gift of exhortation desires to urge others on in their spiritual life. And they want everyone to reach their full potential in Christ. Know who the exhorter is? The exhorter is the counselor. Someone who's able to take the truth of God's word and apply it to the specific situation that you're in. You might be facing a financial stress.
The teacher would be able to tell you what the Bible says about finances. The exhorter is able to take the truth about finances and apply it to your life today so that you know how to take that truth and make it work and live out. You might be having a trouble with a temper. You might be having a trouble with some other area of your emotions. You might be having trouble in your marriage. Well, someone can sit down and tell you what the truth is, but they don't really come alongside and help. You have facts, but how does that apply to my life? The exhorter takes those facts and says, this is how you live. This is how you apply it. I can remember sitting at times as a youth, listening to some individuals preach or teach, and they would tell us, this is what life is all about, and they would lay out the facts. And I can remember coming out of some of those sermons and asking the question, how do I do that? Could someone please tell me how I do that? I understand what you're saying. I just don't know how to make that happen. An exhorter comes and says, let me teach you how to make it happen. Let me give you the step-by-step, the play-by-play. Let me help you in your spiritual life. I remember my freshman year of college, I went to one of my professors. He was actually teaching a class entitled Principles of Christian Growth. And I got to a point in my own life where I just kind of felt like I wanted to know, is there some better way for me to do my devotions? I mean, I'm doing them, but maybe I'm just not getting enough out of them. And quite frankly, I just kind of come back to the Lord as a teenager, made some good decisions, and I just wanted to make sure I was going in the right track. So I went to him and said, can you please tell me how to have my devotions? You know what I got from him? Nothing. He was able to teach truth, but he could not come along beside someone and help them to apply the truth that he's teaching in the class about principles of Christian growth. I walked out of his office completely disappointed. Well, that wasn't helpful. Matter of fact, I felt terrible. Some of the questions he asked me, I thought I was just the worst person on the planet. You know, it's nice to have someone who can come alongside of you and encourage you and comfort you. There are some within that church, they have the ability to do that. And there are some within our church who don't have that ability. And if we don't have that ability, we need to be careful sometimes of what we say. Sometimes it's when we think we're encouraging, we're actually discouraging. We need to be careful about those things. But God gives to some that ability to come alongside. Let me illustrate it for you. The greatest example of this gift in the scripture is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was an exhorter. When you and I read through the New Testament, it is clear to see his exhortations. In Paul's epistles, you're going to find a pattern. You can find it in almost every epistle that he writes. Paul will begin every epistle with a section of doctrine or teaching of truth. He lays out those essential truths that the church needed to understand. Let me give you some illustrations. To the church at Rome, Romans, he would write and lay out the doctrine of justification or the doctrine of our salvation. As you come through the end of the book of Romans and you find Corinthians, Paul is going to begin to teach on the doctrine of sanctification. To the Romans, salvation. To the church at Corinth, he's going to teach about your sanctification. When you come to the book of Ephesians, he's going to reveal the truth, the doctrine of the church. That mystery that had not yet been revealed. Paul's going to give us that mystery of the church. After Paul lays out in that first portion of his letter that doctrine or that teaching, he concludes his letters with practical exhortations. In Romans chapter 12,
Paul has just completed his section on salvation, and he begins his exhortation by saying, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Those mercies of God had just been laid out in 11 chapters in great detail. And now he begins his exhortation. In light of the truth, here's how you live. When you come to the book of Ephesians, Paul, for the first three chapters, lays out for us that wonderful truth of the church. You know what he says in chapter 4? He begins by reminding us of our Christian walk. You have been blessed with this wonderful truth of the church. Now, Christian, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Walk in light. Don't walk as the Gentiles. Walk in love. Walk circumspectly, not as a fool, but as wise. And then you come into chapter 6 and he says, listen, now that you've learned how to walk, now learn how to war. Because you have an enemy, the devil, that seeks to destroy. And there is armor for you. And learn how to live in the midst of this warfare. And he tells you how to do it. There's the exhortation. And God gives to some a gift of exhortation. Now here's the reality. The exhorter, like the prophet, isn't always appreciated. Because sometimes people really don't want someone getting involved and meddling in their life. And an exhorter sees the need and he wants to come alongside. And sometimes people don't like that. But I want to remind you, why do we exhort? Lest an evil heart of unbelief come in and we be defiled. We ought to be thankful for those. God gives to us those who have an ability to communicate the truth of God to meet our needs. We as the body of the church have been blessed beyond measure. I hope you know that. We as the church, the body of Christ, have been blessed beyond measure, for God has given to us through His Holy Spirit men and women gifted to serve the body of Christ that we might grow and that we might be edified. As you and I fulfill our roles by using our gifts, and as we and others receive the blessing of those gifts and are careful not to despise them, we're going to be able to effectively fulfill the commission that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given to us. Folks, God has given to us gifts through the Holy Spirit of God. Each one is to be used to build the body of Christ, to edify. What gift has God given you? I hope you realize by now that you can't answer, "Well, I don't have a gift." God has given to everyone, according to His grace, a gift. Therefore, God would say to us, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Have you considered of late, what is my gift? We've explained them in detail. And as we take those things and we begin to ask, Lord, what gift have you given to me? By the way, He knows what gift He gave you. He's not confused by that. You and I might be at times, but He's not. And if we ask anything in His name according to His will, He's going to reveal it. And He wants you to know what your gift is. But folks, understand that when that gift is revealed, He also expects you to use it. And we need to use it. For when everyone uses their gift, the body is healthy. You know, when the leg doesn't work, the rest of the body suffers. I broke my ankle twice. I've got a little bit of arthritis in it. When that acts up, so acts up the knee. When the knee acts up, so does the back. And right on down the line. When one part is weakened, the whole body is weakened. My mom's heart is weakened. That's why she doesn't have the energy and the ability to do the things she once did. When one member of the body decides that I'm not going to use my gift, it affects the rest of the body. And each one needs to use their gifts so that the church would be built up. And each one of us ought to also receive of those gifts and not despise them. Those with the gift of exhortation who come alongside and we discourage them from using the gift, do you think they're going to be quick to come back and use it again? Do you think the person with the gift of service, when put down because you don't like the way they did it, you think they're going to want to serve much more? We ought to receive those with joy. Because God gave them that gift. Some may have a gift of giving. Let them not despise those who don't have that gift. But let those who don't have the gift of giving not despise that person who seems to have so much extra money that they can just give to the church. Must be nice to have that kind of funds. We can't do that. God gives to everyone different gifts according to His grace. And we ought to use those gifts. And we ought not to despise those gifts. That the church be built up, be edified, that we as a body could then effectively fulfill the commission given to us by Christ. Going into all the world and to teach that gospel. Baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever He has commanded us. Because He is with us always, even to the end of the earth. Amen? Amen. But a body that's not strong is going to struggle to fulfill her commission. But a body strengthened by people using their gifts will be effective in fulfilling her God-given role here on this earth. May God help us to discover and then to display the gifts that He has given to us all. Shall we pray? Father, we are thankful tonight to be able to come again and study Your Word and look at these gifts that You have given to the church. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would seek to discover first and foremost what gift or gifts You have given to us. And Lord, as we understand those gifts, may we learn to use them effectively for the glory of our Savior and His church. Lord, as we discover our gifts, we're also going to find out some areas of our own weakness. May we understand that in our weakness we can be made strong. And sometimes that strength comes as we bind together with others who are strong in other areas as well. And we receive of that gift that You have given to them. So Lord, we ask and pray Your blessing upon us as a congregation, that we would be edified and built up. That we might effectively fulfill the commission given to us by our Savior and impact the world all around us. Well, thank You, Lord, and praise You for this time that You've given for this study. We commit it unto You now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed for tonight.